More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, getting unstuck. Do you need to make a change in your life or relationships? We're going to help you identify the next steps for success. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're helping you get unstuck. If you feel like you need to make some changes in your life or relationships, any area, we want to help you identify those next steps and succeed where you've been frustrated before. Let's talk it out together and find the best way forward at 877-573-7825. Once again, that number, 877-573-7825. Let's get this week off on a good foot by getting unstuck.
Well, you started with the words, do you need to make some changes? And nope to the nope right there. Nobody wants to make changes. Changes are repellent to most of us. We just want to get up and go along and have everything go smoothly and let everything be great.
How do you really feel
and
about this?
And I really feel that way. And I know a lot of other moms who do, a lot of other people in general who do, because change can be intimidating. But you know what else is intimidating and kind of life-sucking? Getting stuck in a place or in a rhythm of a relationship or in a pattern in your life where you're just feeling, at the very least, meh. Like, it just doesn't give you joy to get up in the morning. It doesn't give you joy to spend time with that person. It doesn't make you feel empowered or connected to others or with God. It doesn't give you a sense of purpose or life satisfaction to go to that job or to deal with that situation.
And unfortunately, you can't KonMari your whole life, right? You know, if something doesn't give you joy, you can't always just throw it out.
Right, exactly. And if you do, you're going to have a whole lot less joy when you're throwing away really important relationships or, you know, a way to pay your bills.
So how do you approach those relationships, those situations in your life, work, friendships, other important relationships in a fresh way that allows you to stay energized, to feel hopeful, to overcome the obstacles that are stealing your joy? We want to help you make change in some part of your life or relationships, whether that's taking on a new healthy habit or improving your marriage or family life in some way. If you feel a little stuck or you're frustrated with trying to figure out what to do, where to start, or what the right change would even look like, let's talk it out together and find some graceful ways forward. 877-573-7825.
And even if you don't want to make change, but stuff is changing. You know, stuff is just changing, whether it's something as simple as the school year and the routines are all coming to an end, and the summer schedule and the summer life is going to be somehow different. And you're feeling like, okay, what does our family do about this? How do I rework my schedule? How do I connect with everybody? How do I deal with all of that? It can be as simple as something like that. It can be bigger changes. You know, you're looking at kids going off to college for the first time or getting married, and you're thinking, this is a huge shift in our relationship. How do I deal with this? How do I deal with this new stage in our family life and in my own personal life?
I mean, and like you said, sometimes we don't want to make change. Sometimes change happens to us. Your spouse announces maybe they don't want to be married to you anymore.
Horribly
or your
enough.
Kids announce that they don't want to be faithful anymore. Or you going through a particular time where your health is being challenged, or you've been let go in your job and you're not sure what next. You know, whether you need to make a change or figure out how to adapt gracefully to the change that has landed on your face this morning, we want to help you manage all of those changes more effectively at 877-573-7825. One of the reasons we're looking at this, there was an article in the journal Health Psychology. I'm sure you've all seen that. It's a very popular journal among most people. I'm joking. Of course, none of you saw it. But it was a good study, actually, that looks at how people with a strong sense of life purpose are better at achieving goals than those who have a weaker sense of purpose. Now, what does that mean? Well, the thing is, we often feel stuck when we either have to make a change or are trying to figure out how to adapt to a change, because we can't figure out what the right thing to do is in a given situation. And that's where the theology of the body can be tremendously helpful for us, right? Because it helps us have a clear vision of our life's purpose, the big picture, at all times. And that enables the right choices to snap into focus more easily. See, the theology of the body reminds us that It's not our job to just set goals that help us just escape the pain or the frustration of the moment, or even merely minimize the potential for conflict with a particular person. Instead, the theology of the body reminds us that it's the mission of every Christian person to set goals in the face of the problems or challenges or struggles we encounter that enable us to work for our ultimate good, sainthood. Okay, you know, and for the ultimate good of those around us. That's important, too, because it's not just, because if I just think about me, okay, then very often it comes down to, well, I just need to be nicer. I guess I just need to put up with that. But how are you contributing to the other person's sainthood? How are you challenging the other person to grow and yourself at the same time? The theology of the body reminds us that every choice we make has to be ordered both to working for our good and the good of those around us. So the answer to what should I do about X becomes a whole lot clearer when we change the question to how do I need to respond to this in a way that challenges me and the people around me to become what God is calling us to be.
Well, and challenging the people around you to become what God's calling them to be doesn't mean lecturing. Doesn't mean Bible thumping. Doesn't mean I told them a million times.
No.
It means doing something differently that actually affects change. So where are you with change today, except wanting to stick your head in a hole and not do that change? How are you handling it? If it's scaring you, if it's intimidating you, let's talk about that and give you the strength and the skills you need to make those changes. If it's something that you want to do, but you're not sure where to even begin, or if you're trying and it's not being as effective as you'd like it to be, you're trying to make that change in your marriage, your relationships, and the other people aren't responding the way you need
Wait,
them to.
Wait, what? You mean you're getting resistance? Someone doesn't want to get with your program?
Shock of shocks.
Are you kidding me? What? Well, we've got that covered too. 877-573-7825. Or for that matter, if change doesn't come in your life, and you don't know how to adapt to it, well, we're here for that, too. Again, the number, 877-573-7825. We're going to help you face those changes with courage and make graceful change that enables you to be truly joyful in the face of all the stuff that you're having to adapt to. Let's talk it out together. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions. In the name
and
of the Father,
and the Son, and the
Holy
Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for being the constant in our lives, always calling us to deeper communion with you and the people that you have placed in our lives. But Lord, because we are broken and sinful, our world constantly challenges us to change, to grow, to adapt in ways that aren't always comfortable. In fact, are usually not very comfortable. And our usual response to the invitation to change is to run away, to hide, to hope it'll just go away. Give us the courage, Lord, to embrace change courageously, gracefully, and confidently, knowing that with your grace, we can accomplish all things. Help us to face the changes we have to make in our life and our relationships in ways that glorify you, work for our good, the good of those around us, and ultimately show the world your power and glory in our weakness. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, we're helping you get unstuck. Do you need to make a change in your life or relationships? Well, we want to help you identify those next steps. Or for that matter, if change is happening to you and you're not sure how to respond to it gracefully, let's talk about that too. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk to our first caller today, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey there, listener. Welcome to Mortal Life. What's going on?
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm a licensed professional counselor, and when you go through a personal change, you know what needs to be done on a professional level, but when you're on a personal playing field, it becomes a little bit difficult. Of
sure.
course, in my situation, aging, I'm retired, but I'm still doing therapy on a part-time basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's when you're out in that field that you're thinking, okay, how much longer do I do this? I love mm-hmm. what I do. I have a passion for it and helping families and parenting issues.
Mm-hmm.
But then you come back to your self-worth is, are you still valuable as you age, you know? And I think aging is a very difficult part in my life.
So are you asking, are you trying to figure out, you know, kind of how... Are you asking, is it okay to retire? Is that what you're saying?
It's probably, I'm asking for some guidance on just aging in a world that probably is values
yeah.
a lot of what the younger population values and really senses your own self-worth.
Okay.
Does that
All right.
make sense?
I think so, yeah. And so I guess number one, are you praying about it? I want to make sure that we're covering our bases.
I am.
Good for you.
I am praying about it. And I was reading about St. Teresa of Avila, of how mm-hmm. she dealt with her obstacles in her life and in constant prayer. And one of the things that I really want to do is embrace joy at every step of my life, but...
But what does that mean, right? That's kind of the question.
Yeah.
And then secondly, are you talking with anybody like a spiritual director, for example, or your pastor?
No,
or
I'm not.
So that would be something else to do, because I think one of the things that St. Ignatius of Loyola always said, that when we have to discern something, it's always important to discern with somebody. And you know, if you're married, but if you have a prayerful spouse, then working with, you know, your prayerful spouse, can be a sort of frontline co-spiritual direction process. But working with your pastor, for example, or even finding a professional spiritual director can be a really important piece of that discernment process when you're making these big changes like you are. That said, one thing to just begin praying on in the meantime, because it can be hard to find a spiritual director or somebody to kind of work with in that way, we get a book called The Life God Wants You to Have. And in that, we walk through the process of trying to discern, you know, what does God want for the next chapter of my life, and how do I know that? And of course, you know, sometimes God whaps us upside the head with a 2x4 that says, "Do this, Greg!" You know, and I love those times, but they don't happen very often.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to happen only in those times when it's not humanly possible for me to discern what to do on my own power. And in those times, God will just Make that neon light flash and I can go to it. The second way that St. Ignatius says that God talks to us is basically kind of like the sunrise comes up. You know, it's dark. I don't know what to do. Slowly, I kind of think I see a light on the horizon, but then as I pray and reflect and gather more information, the sun comes up a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of a, right? And you usually experience God speaking to us in that way when there are two good choices that we could pick from. Either one would be good, but over time as we pray and reflect on it, God just highlights one of them and encourages us to move in that direction. And it just suddenly becomes clear that, you know, there isn't necessarily one fact that stood out, but as I prayed and meditated and gathered information and gathered advice from good, trusted, mature, spiritual people in my life, this is the thing that I just feel led toward. The third way that God speaks to us, St. Ignatius says, is just basically through our reason. And we often get kind of tripped up with this one because we feel like, well, how do I know it's God's voice and not mine? And the thing you need to keep in mind, and this is what we talk about in the life God wants you to have, is that because we're broken and sinful, we can't choose anything good on our own. Right? So if we hear, even in our own voice or our own reason, something that inclines us to pursue meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, then that's coming from the Holy Spirit. And we have to trust that that's God's voice, even if it sounds like our voice. Now, let me hit those three qualities, because I think that's what you need to be looking at right now. As you're deciding this next chapter of your life, you want to be praying about, of the options I have, which of these options do I think would lead to the greatest meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in my life? Meaningfulness refers to using my gifts and talents in a way that is a blessing to me and to others. You know, it goes along with the theology of the body idea of self-donation. You know, using my gifts in a way that glorifies God, works for my good and the good of others. Intimacy, of the options available to me, which options allow me to experience deeper relationship with the people in my life, a healthier relationship with the people in my life? And then finally, virtue, of the options in front of me, which of these options kind of challenge me to grow in some new and exciting ways that would help me be more of the person God wants me to be? The more I consistently lean into meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, the more I know I'm doing God's will. And that's what you want to pray about. Keep taking to prayer, Lord, help me develop in this next chapter of my life a life that glorifies you by continuing to pursue more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, and praying on what that specifically means in light of the choices in front of you. We walk through those steps in the life God wants you to have if you need a little more guidance on that.
Now, all of those steps, you know, being what they are, and they're very important steps for you to take on your personally discerning all of this, I just want to share one experience that I've had very recently. As you're saying, you know, maybe I'm aging out and all these young people need such and such. We recently had the privilege of talking with a whole group of recently graduated new therapists, okay? They've launched into their careers in the last year. And what we heard over and over and over again as we had conversations with them is how shocked they are that people haven't been influenced well by older people. They haven't even been parented well. And they're really looking for somebody to say, this is how you can get from where you are in your life now through your adulthood in a way that's meaningful, that's healthy for you. And I think that people need more than ever people who are wise, who are a little bit older, who have the skills that you have. So don't think just because you hit a particular number that you're obsolete. I think your skills and your wisdom and your life experience is needed more than it's ever been. So please pray on that as you discern all of this with these steps that Greg is talking about. Yeah,
but you're definitely doing the right things. You know, you're taking it to prayer. As I said, if you can find a good spiritually mature person to pray through this with, whether that's your pastor or a spiritual director, then getting that support would be tremendously helpful. But even if you're on your own through this, really reflecting more on those qualities of what options lead me to the more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous path. And as I said, The Life God Wants You to Have, our book through Crossroads, will take you through the next steps if you do need more guidance beyond what we just suggested today on the air. Thanks so much for the call. God bless you, and thank you so much for your ministry over the years. And I believe with all of my heart that God has got some wonderful things in store for you in the next chapter, and I hope that you'll stay in touch with us and let us know what he's doing, because I always love hearing those stories too. So thanks for the call. We're taking your calls about getting unstuck. Do you need to make a change in your life or relationships, or are you having to adapt to some changes that have happened to you and you're not sure how to respond gracefully? Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute, who's going to share with us some other insights on how TOB can help us get unstuck. Stick around for more. More to Life coming up after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are here talking about getting unstuck. If you need to make a change in your life or relationships, we want to help you identify the next steps. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute is here to talk to us about how the theology of the body can help us get unstuck. Hey, Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning to you both. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. So let's talk about this. You know, as I was sharing earlier in the program, a lot of times we get stuck in the changes we have to make because we don't really know what the right thing to do is. How can the theology of the body help us get a clearer sense of that?
Well, one of the things I really enjoyed discovering in my discovery of theology of the body was this kind of unfolding of a story that John Paul lays out when he asks questions about who are we, where we come from, where are we going. He looks at original man, historical man, and here's the big word of the day, eschatological man, right? So that's the glorified man who's coming. So in the day-to-day, we kind of get a little bit stuck, as you're saying, in historical man. That's from the fall in the garden to the end of the world. We're struggling with sin. We're struggling with our own imperfections and those outside of us. The theology of the body gives us this expansive, dramatic story. So we look at a beginning and we look towards an end, and it can help make sense of this present moment. So that's a real gift from John Paul.
Yeah, because it helps us to remember that, you know, who we are isn't just the broken kind of mess we see in front of us in the mirror, right? It reminds us that in the beginning, God had a vision for our lives. And at the end, he's working toward completing that vision that we were made for in the first place. And so I think, if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is that in any decision we have to make or in any change we're trying to consider, we got to keep that big picture view in mind and say, well, you know, what do I need to do to work for my good and the good of the people around me, ultimately? Right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And John Paul's reflections are pretty clear that this moment now, historical man and woman, right now us, is the kind of crucible. It's kind of like the classroom where all that stuff's getting worked out. So we want to be careful of wishing heaven to happen now, like everything's got to be perfect now. I've got to be all perfect now. My family situation's got to be perfect. My wife has this little inside thing she does with me sometimes when I'm kind of, my expectations are a little high. It's the Seinfeld reference to serenity now, you know, like it's got to be serenity now. The reality is, you know, we got to let go of the dream a little bit. Like, we're trying to get to heaven. So now is the wrestling match, you know, between wills sometimes. And it's a little bit like, Lord, let your grace in. John Paul's historical man meditations show Jesus in this mess, like Jesus bringing grace to penetrate the here and now to make us, as you're saying, into these saints.
Well, you know, you're making a really interesting point. It's reminding me of something. I spoke a couple of weeks ago at the Catholic Psychotherapy Association conference, and I did a talk on anxiety. And one of the points that I made was that research tends to show that as we draw closer to God, we experience less anxiety. But most people, when you say that, think it means you sort of escape the now and go kind of run off to church and pray, and you
sit
draw
always in front of the
Eucharist. You know, God's over there, and I have to go draw closer to Him. What drawing closer to God really means, what you were just talking about, saying, "Okay, God, come into this moment with me and help teach me how to respond to this in a way that moves me toward that, as you put it, eschatological man, that glorified vision that you have for me in this moment." So it's not a matter of escaping my present to go find God over there. It's about bringing God into this and asking him to bring heaven here.
Exactly. Beautiful.
Powerful stuff. Bill, thank you so much for highlighting that incredibly important message of the theology of the body. If folks would like to learn more about what you guys do, where can they go for information?
TOBInstitute.org.
TOBInstitute.org. Bill Donahue, thanks again for being with us. And we'll be taking your calls on More to Life when we come back about making change. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God. But I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, I live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence, and in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When we speak of blessing in prayer, what exactly do we mean? The Catholic Catechism defines blessing as a basic movement of Christian prayer, an encounter between God and man. God's gift and man's acceptance of that gift are united in dialogue with each other. God blesses, and the human heart can respond to bless the one who is the source of every blessing. The Catechism states that two fundamental forms express this movement. Human prayer ascends in the Holy Spirit through Christ to the Father, and it implores the grace of the Holy Spirit, which descends through Christ from the Father. Adoration, says the Catechism, is man's first attitude, acknowledging that he is a creature before his Creator. It exalts the God who made us and the almighty power of the Savior who sets us free from evil. It is the homage of the Spirit to the King of Glory. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. One of the best things you can do for your marriage is to learn your spouse's love style, the style that your spouse likes to give and receive love in. People with a visual love style need to see that you love them. Tangible tokens of affection, such as flowers and gifts, mean the world to them because they can see the thought you put into them. People with an auditory love style love to feel through their ears. They love to have long conversations, hearing I love you and hearing praises. Finally, people with a kinesthetic or touch-oriented love style need to feel how much you love them through affection and acts of service. Just being there is very important to this type of person. Which love style best fits you? Which best fits your spouse? Today, take the time to think of how your spouse will best receive love from you, and then act on that. For more on maintaining a happy, healthy, lifelong marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
And I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And before we go back to taking your calls about getting unstuck, you know, something very heavy on my heart, I just wanted to share. We get a lot of questions. People are concerned about a lot of things. But the biggest thing that people seem to be most concerned about, that they write to us most often about, is the question, how can we get more Popchak?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
How can we? I need to hear more Dr. Greg. And
you even freaked me out, man.
No, I'm teasing. But in reality, you can have more Popchak. Your wishes can come true.
A little bit this week. A little bit more of you.
Deacon Harold is in the Holy Land this week, and so I'll be filling in for him both tomorrow, Tuesday, and on Friday on Morning Glory with Gloria Purvis and Father Bjorn. So be sure to tune in tomorrow, Tuesday, from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 a.m. Central, for Morning Glory with me. We'll be having a lot
and
of fun.
And Father, them too.
They'll be there, I guess. But
and,
yeah.
And we still will be, God willing, live on More to Life those days as well.
So there you go. Check it out. We'll be talking to you tomorrow morning as well as on More to Life at 10 a.m. All right, with that, let's go back to the phones. We're talking with you about getting unstuck. If you need to make a change in your life or relationships or figure out how to handle a change that has landed on you, we want to help you find the next steps toward success. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Janet, who's listening in Ohio on the EWTN app.
Hey, Janet. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. We have, my husband and I have seven children total, and we have three that live at home with us right now. Our oldest is an 18-year-old, and she is pregnant. She's due to have the baby June 3rd, and we've been struggling. She's going to be living with us, the baby, and she will be living with us. She has a boyfriend, but he's, you know, not going to be living with us. Okay. He still has a year of high school left. She is graduating in a few days. We've been struggling with her throughout her whole high school years. She is the one that told us she didn't want to be Catholic anymore. She didn't believe in all that stuff, she would tell us. And, you know, we've raised her very solidly Catholic. Our family's very, you know, Catholic in our daily life and everything. And we made her go to church with us, you know, up until we just really couldn't stand it anymore. I mean, she was disrupting our whole Sunday during Mass. She would, like, talk to our eight-year-old and disrupt her, and she'd have to go get a drink of water in the middle of Mass or say she felt faint. It was always some big dramatic thing so she could get out of Mass. So we kind of just forced her till she turned 18. She hasn't been going, and now she's going to have this baby. And my husband and I are just like, what's life going to be like now? We don't know what to expect. We're being here for her. We're trying to make this, you know, now a joyful occasion, you know, as much as we can. I mean, we're excited for a grandchild to come. But we're just kind of like, you know, we don't think she, right at this point in time, wants to raise the Catholic. We're just very stuck. We feel like we can't do anything. We want her to be here. We want to be here for the baby. We want to take, you know, take care of our daughter.
So give me an example. I mean, because we can go in a lot of different directions with this. So give me an example of, or if not an example, then maybe kind of one thing that you'd like to leave this call with a clearer sense about. Something that she does that you'd like to respond to more effectively.
Okay.
Or a situation that kind of consistently comes up that you're not sure how to kind of manage the way you'd like to. Give me an example of something like that.
okay, like, number one, our first thing that's going to come up is, will the baby be baptized? You know, we've mentioned it to her several times. You know, obviously, Father, from our, the priest from our church, we've talked to him, and he said, have her talk to me, because she won't obviously agree right now to raise the child Catholic, so we don't even know if it's possible. So, I mean, you know, when the baby's born, it's like, do we try to make them go to church again now that she has a child?
So here's a question I want to ask you as a follow-up on that, all right? What's the hostility about exactly? Do you have any sense of where it all broke down for her?
I do. I think I do. Her biological father and I divorced when she was only 2.5. I had 4 kids. They were ages 5 to 6 months. And he just kind of took off, saw them once in a blue moon. And we married in the Catholic Church and everything. And I raised all the kids Catholic. And I was a single mom for 8 years. And she said I kind of just pushed it on her too much. And her dad doesn't care about it at all. So when he would see them, he would tell them that I'm kind of crazy, you know, that kind of stuff. And so throughout the years, then I met a wonderful, we got an annulment, met a wonderful Catholic man 10 years ago. So when she was, I guess she was about 8 when he came into her life. And so then our family became even more enveloped in our Catholic faith. And she said she just felt like it was pushed on her all the time. And, but I feel like there's something to do with just the negativity of, you know, her dad kind of would talk badly about it, like we're crazy. And then she's met this boyfriend who's not Catholic or anything. And just kind of decided on her own she wanted to do something different, you know.
There's not going to be, I don't have an easy, you know, here's 2 steps to make it all better answer for you. But I want to give you something to kind of pray on and chew over, okay? Because I think this will help. And your response to my question really helped clarify some things there, okay? So faith evolves through different stages for kids. So there are different stages of faith from, say toddlerhood to early childhood, middle childhood, and adolescence. And at each one of those stages, kids need different food in order for their faith to be relevant to them. And in the faith stage that teenagers have, we'll call it the relationship and mission stage, okay? In other words, teenagers are focused on trying to find their place in the world and find a group to belong to, okay? And to the degree, and they believe that things are true, not just faith stuff, but anything is true, to the degree that it helps them find their place in the world and helps them build their relationships. Teens, however, believe something is false to the degree that they experience it as an obstacle to their relationships or an obstacle to finding their place in the world. Now, the big obstacle for her that you mentioned is that faith is a kind of a wedge issue between you and your ex. That would be one obstacle. Just how can she effectively resolve that issue that is a wedge between her, you, and her biological dad, right? So being able to address that over the long haul is going to be really important. How can she maintain her relationship with her dad, who is tangentially involved in her life? She's afraid of losing him, right? So faith, if she clings to her faith, that becomes one more reason that he might abandon her. Right. So addressing that in some way, I wouldn't get off the phone and say, you know, honey, I had this talk with this radio guy and he thinks that your dad's going to abandon you. Don't do that. But, you know, you keep it in mind that that's probably one of the, it's not just that he's bad mouthing the faith. It's that she's afraid that if she clings to the faith, she's going to lose dad.
Yeah. Lose what little she has left of dad.
So how can you reassure her over time that that doesn't necessarily have to be the case? Number one. Number two. How can you show her, okay, not by lecturing her or forcing her to go to church per se, although I do in general encourage parents to require their children to go to church if it is at all possible. I think you can't, you know, even if there's some resistance, you can't build on something if it ain't there at all, right? So you can always work on the quality of her attendance if you can get her there. But if you can't get her there, then there's nothing to work on. But if she's going to burn down the house, you know, like you were saying, then maybe discretion is the better part of valor and you back off. It's a judgment call is what I'm trying to say, with a bias toward making her go if you can. That said, long term, you want to try to show her how your faith is actually making your relationships stronger and drawing you guys closer together as a family, and how it's going to help her find the peace that she needs with this new baby that's coming on, right? Don't make it about the rules. Don't make it about requiring, because again, infant baptism is founded on the idea that the child has a certain hope of being raised in the faith by a faithful parent. She's not in that place right now. So making her go through baptism just to get out of hell free card is kind of missing the point, right? We got to help mom resolve her issues with the faith before So having that kind of ongoing sense of how can we show her that the faith leads her into healthier and deeper relationship with the people that love her, instead of it being a constant wedge issue that separates her in some way from the people who love her. That's a big question that, like I said, I don't have, you know, here are three steps to make that happen, but that's what you want to be looking at.
And Janet, I think you're well on the way to doing that. I mean, I'm applauding you and your husband for saying, yeah, you know, you and this baby are welcome into our home. We are going to try to make this experience as joyful as possible. I know it took a lot for you to be able to get over, you know, the shock of all of this, you and your husband. And you're being so pro-life and so welcoming and so loving in this situation. And I would encourage you that one of the best ways to change her heart about how much God loves her is to continue to envelop your daughter and your new grandbaby in your love, as she deals with everything that she has to deal with the idea of giving birth and all that her body's going to go through and her heart and her mind are going to go through and recovering from that. As she goes through getting to know this child and being exhausted and being tearful and dealing with all of that, take those moments to love her, to embrace her, to even pray with her when she's exhausted from being up all night.
And I want to second that.
Don't just rescue her and not, you know, oh, it's okay, you sleep, I'll take care of the baby. But come alongside of her and say, let's just take a minute, honey, and pray that God can give us, you know, what we need to get through this and to love this baby so well. He's such a gift from God.
A big part of doing, you know, what I was just suggesting and building on what Lisa's saying here is really inviting God into those little moments that she needs
those
that extra grace.
Moments.
Not by telling her to pray about it or lecturing her about going to church, but in that moment, if she's, you know, struggling, you know, when she's giving birth, you know, to say, okay, God, please help my daughter be able to have the strength to persevere through this and let her know how much I love her. Boom. It's a 5-second prayer, but God is there in that moment. If she's struggling with nursing, you know, Lord, please just help my daughter feel your arms around her while she's wrestling with this and let her know that I'm here for her. You say it out loud. You don't ask her for permission to do it. You just bring God into the moment in those little 1-2-second bursts, but if you make God part of that moment and part of that conversation and part of your interactions with her, she starts to experience God's love through your love.
And she's really seeing the long term here of the fact that you and your husband have not abandoned her, have not abandoned her child, even though her biological father did. And eventually, and this is one of those long-term growth kind of things, as she comes into her adult mind, and she is so not there yet, as she grows into an adult, eventually she'll begin to sort out her own childhood story, and she'll be able to say, who stuck with me and was there for me even when it was hard, and who wasn't? Oh, the people who God gave the grace to do that for me and my life. And she'll begin to see that you're nothing more than a representation of how much God really loves her.
And while we're at it, it's okay, pray about when to do this, or, you know, if to do this, but it's okay to connect the dots for her too at some point when she's fighting with you about the faith and all that, to say to her, you know, honey, why do you think we've stuck with you through all this? I mean, certainly because we love you, right? But there are lots of other people who love their kids who say, well, you know, you made grown-up choices, so you can go be grown up by yourself now. Why do you think we've stuck with you? Because we know how much God loves you, and our faith makes us want to love you that much too. And so that's why you're living with us. And that's why we want to be here for you, because we love you and we want to love you with God's love that doesn't fail.
But be careful to do that in gentle times, yeah. Not in times where you're throwing that out as a barb, because it'll do the reverse.
Right.
If you use it in a time when you two are arguing. But right. Let her come into this. Keep being the amazingly loving mom and grandparent that you are. And just move through this with a lot of prayer, a lot of grace. Make sure you and your husband are praying about this together on a consistent basis so this doesn't come between you. And just keep laying down that foundation of love and the fact that God is the one who's allowing you to love her so well.
Incidentally, for you, Janet, or for anybody else who heard me talking about those different stages of faith with kids and, you know, want to know how you can help your kids make sure they get the right spiritual food at each stage to be able to own their faith into adulthood, check out our book, Discovering God Together. The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, because it really does talk through how to negotiate those different stages. Because a lot of times, you know, exactly what Janet's gone through here, parents, you know, think they've got a really faithful kid up until they hit high school, and all of a sudden it all falls apart, and they don't know why or what to do. Well, that managing that transition is a big part of what we talk about in that book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com or at the AveMariaRadio.net bookstore. Check it out. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about getting unstuck. If you feel like you need to make a change in your life or relationships, or more gracefully manage a change that has happened to you, let's talk about how to do it. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls right after the break.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we are talking about getting unstuck. If you need to make a change in your life or relationships, or manage a change that has been thrust upon you, and you want to know, what are the next steps? Where do I want to go with this? Where does God want me to go with it? Well, let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Eric, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania on Sirius 130.
Hey, Eric. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Hi there, folks. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
It's regarding my 16-year-old. She's ranked number one in her high school. She's homeschooled, and her SAT and ACT scores are very high.
Sorry, I just have to. That sounds like a joke, right?
I'm
the valedictorian of my homeschool high school. You mean
I'm the only one in my grade?
What do you when you say she's ranked number one in her high school? What do you mean? I'm sorry. I said, when you say she's number one in her high school, what do you mean?
By GPA.
Gotcha.
GPA.
I'm sorry. It just struck me funny. Go ahead, please, with your question.
That's okay. Not a problem. So the other aspect was we had her we had an interview with one of our state senators who spoke very highly of her and suggested that she would do very well in one of the academies. Military academies. She's participated in the junior leadership program as well. And has gone and seen one of the academies as well.
So you mean like West Point, like one of those schools that, that requires a recommendation from your Senate Congress? Okay, yeah.
That's right. So through all of this, you know, we've been, you know, just trying to share with her different perspectives about her skills and talents and so forth. And the other day she said to me, when completing an aspect of the application, she says, "Dad, I just want to go to a regular college and have a regular experience." And so my question to you is, how do we, what advice might you offer to in a situation, a 16-year-old who has kind of a response in face of all of these positive accolades and skills and talents that she possesses?
Okay, Eric, let me ask you this. I mean, there are hundreds and thousands of universities. She's only 16. I realize she's in the application process. What does it mean to you that she goes to a military academy? Why does that matter so much to you?
Well, it's not so much the military academy. It's also Ivy League gets mail as well. And her focus is primarily on a university where she has been intrigued by the lab tools. She wants to major in biological research. So
we're not talking about a kid who doesn't have any goals, though. I mean, she sounds like she's got a passion.
In some way, right, yeah. In some way. But I think one of the academies might help her with leadership skills that I know she possesses and that sort of thing. But that's not necessarily the only outlet, I think, or area or school that she can go to.
So here's my suggestion in the 4 minutes I got before they kicked me out of here, Eric. Okay, so look, as a parent of college age and young adult kids, I totally get where you're coming from. And really, you know, because we have a vision for what we want for our kids. We see good things in them and we want to bring those good things out. And we often have a plan for them that we think would be a great plan. And in fact, probably is a great plan for our lives. The problem often comes in when we try to make our plan their plan. And who knows? Maybe in time she'll come around to that. But I think you have to kind of back up and help her discover what her mission and her vision is first. What that means is, so for example, in Parenting with Grace, in the teenage chapter, we talk a lot about helping a kid identify a mission statement. What are the qualities that are most important to her? What does she want to be known for? What are the most important things that to her? And what would it mean for her to lean into those qualities that God has placed in her heart so that she can be the person that God is calling her to be? By supporting her in that mission and helping her identify that, you're remembering that our children belong to God, not to us, and that it's our job to shepherd them toward God's plan for their lives. And that might often involve our plan for them, but it might not. And the best way to do that is prayerfully sitting down with our children and saying, okay, you know, what is this mission that God has placed on your heart, and how can I support you in achieving that?
And that is going to be the most important thing, because as Greg was saying, it's very important for us to guide our children, and when you see so clearly in your mind's eye how this can work, it's very hard to even release any of that. But this child isn't made in your image and likeness, Eric. She's made in God's image and likeness, and it's time for the two of you to say, okay, we respect each other. We respect each other's opinions. I have one way where I see you can be really the most successful in your life. You're seeing other things. Let's talk about that.
It's got to be based in the vision, though, that you start with. Because if you can't work with her to figure out how best to fulfill that vision, then you're forcing your idea and your vision on her, and that will be a cause of a lot of conflict both in her life and for herself.
Exactly, and I would go with her and talk to other people who are part of the field that she thinks she wants to go into and talk about what schools they would recommend. But unless you're sitting down with her and pretty much on a daily basis saying, Lord, we're at a really big crossroads right now. She's starting to apply to these schools. Help us to see where your plan is for this girl, where you want her to be. What places that are best and most optimal for your plan to occur in her life so she can become everything you want her to be. that's not only going to help her be everything God has created her to be, but it's also going to help her see that no matter what that is, you're there to help support her through it. And it's going to give you the freedom to let go a little bit so that God can work out his plan for his daughter.
So it's that twofold piece, right? It has to be rooted in that prayer relationship. But ultimately, you're helping her discern what God has placed on her heart and the best way to achieve that vision, not how can you impose your vision on her. We, as parents, have every right to express our thoughts about how this particular plan can help them fulfill this vision or what. But ultimately, we have to lead them to that relationship with God that will help them know what his plan for their life is. Thanks for the call, Eric. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to give us a call. With that, we got to get out of here, but don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning, 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, as I fill in for Deacon Harold on Morning Glory with Gloria Purvis and Father Bjorn. Then we'll be here tomorrow on More to Life as well at our usual time, taking your calls. Until then, come on over to our place at CatholicCounselors.com and check out the resources that we've mentioned on today's program, including Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, and The Life God Wants You to Have, Discovering the Divine Plan When Human Plans Fail. Both are available at CatholicCounselors.com, as well as information about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice. And get out there and celebrate the life God has for you.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.